Jesus, do you follow? Which Jesus do you serve? If Ephesians says to imitate Christ, why do you look so much like the world? 'Cause my Jesus bled and died. He spent his time with thieves and liars. He loved the poor and accosted the arrogant. So which one do you want?
I do not fear man. I never have feared man. The word of God offends, and if you don't like it, then you're going to have to just deal with it. The word of God is the word of God. You don't have to take it up with me. You have to take it up with God.
Hunger and thirst for righteousness. Or do we ache for another taste of this world of shifting sand? My Jesus bled and died for my sins. He spent his time with thieves and sluts and liars. He loved the poor and accosted the rich. So which one do you want to be? And who is this that you find?
There seems to be a watering down and even a skirting of this issue all over America and the world. So I'm going to talk to you today about the judgment of God. People need to know, and there's people listening to this that are sitting in prisons right now that are there because of child molestation and rapes and murders, who still haven't figured out that there's something that's going to happen to them after the needle is plunged in their arm and they expire.
Pretty blue eyes and curly brown hair and a clear complexion is how you see him as he dies for your sins. But the word says he was battered and scarred. Did you miss that part? Sometimes I doubt we'd recognize him. 'Cause my Jesus,
I'm not going to sit here and stroke you, stand behind this sacred pulpit and stroke you 24/7 and tell you everything's okay, because everything's not okay. Hebrews 9:27 says this: as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment.
Because my Jesus would never be accepted in my church. The blood and dirt on his feet might stain the carpet, but he reaches for the hurting and despises the bereft. And I think he'd prefer Beale Street to the stained glass crowd. And I know that he can't hear me if I cry out loud. I wanna be like my Jesus. I wanna be like my Jesus. I wanna be like my Jesus. Hey, yeah. I wanna be like my Jesus.
I say to those of you that are seeker-friendly, people-pleasing pastors that are listening to this message, if you do not develop an incredible, deep fear of God in front of your people, you will pay. Because Ezekiel, God said to Ezekiel, if you do not warn them, then their blood will be on your hands. And what do you warn them? You warn them that there is a righteous God out there who watches the ways of man and will judge him strictly by the way he behaves.
you said to live like you live,
strictly by the way he behaves.
But then you die for me. Can I be like you, Jesus? I wanna be like you, Jesus. I wanna be like my Jesus. I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted. And the terrain of his
I love what Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, 13, and 14. And I remind you, even though this man had plenty of sin in his life, he was recorded and is recorded as the wisest man that ever lived. And he says this, at the end of everything, he said, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Period.
With two days.
You're here today, or you're listening by the internet, and you say, I've never heard anything like this. It's because you've been eating baby food. And it's time for you to quit slurping milk out of a bowl and sit down and eat a steak. Revelation 21:8 says, but the fearful and unbelieving, the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
The Lord Almighty. The Lord Almighty.
Children, that if we play with fire, we're going to get burned. I'm telling you, if you play around and do not take seriously the words of this preacher, you're going to regret it. Today, I'll be talking about the judgment of God, something that Gallup poll did a extensive poll on just a couple years ago, and 80% of North American adults believe that when they die, they will stand before God and be held accountable for their sins. The problem is, they're not doing anything about it.
And an angel flew to me, and he had fire in his hair. And he put it to my lips, and God took away my sin. He took away my sin.
Robert Murray McShane said back in the 1800s, you had better die right the first time because you can't come back and try it again. Jim Elliot, the great missionary who died suddenly in the late 50s ministering to a cannibal tribe, said this, when it comes time to die, make sure that's all you have to do.
Is glory.
folks, you don't understand what has happened in America. Now, you're dealing with a pastor who believes in corporal punishment. I believe in the death penalty. Okay? I've lived around the world. Did you know that right now in Singapore, a country I have preached the gospel in, you drop a piece of paper on the ground, you get a ticket. You drop it on the ground again, you go to jail. Chewing gum is outlawed because of what people do with chewing gum. And right now, the government of Singapore is considering reinstating, if you steal something, we chop your hand off. Why? Because there have been people stealing lately, and they're going to put a stop to it. Now, mind you, there are other countries in the world that if you get caught with an ounce of pot, you get hung. And it doesn't matter if your dad is some wealthy lawyer in the United States of America. You've been caught in their country with a bag of pot or a bag of heroin, you're going to get hung. You're going to get in front of the firing squad and die. It doesn't matter if you're the most likely to succeed in your high school class. It doesn't matter if you graduated from Harvard. The bottom line is you get a bullet between your eyes. Why? You broke our laws. But here in America, you can sodomize a child, get a slap on the hand, and be set free. Don't you do that again. And so what's happened in America is people, because this is just a slow process, what's happening here is people believe, they believe that God is like we are. How many of you have ever heard someone say, God would never do that? Well, I promise you, you go to some of these nations where you get your eye gouged out for doing something wrong, for looking at the wrong person, doing the wrong thing, they would say, God will do that. Because they've received punishment like that on earth. But we have become so soft. Let me just give you a scripture. Turn to Psalm 50. Turn to Psalm 50. I'm not going to park on it. I'm going to just drive over this. But I want you to see it. Psalm 50, verse 16, 17, 18, and 19 talk about how the wicked continue doing things, just continue sinning, adultery, stealing, consenting to this and consenting to that. But look at verse 21. These things you have done and I kept silent. God is saying, these things you've done and I kept silent. And you thought that I was altogether like one of you. But I will reprove you, and I will set them in order before your eyes. Now consider this, verse 22, Psalm 50. Ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces, and there be none to deliver. Now let me tell you what the original Hebrew is there. This is the original text. When the Bible says he will set those sins, he's saying he'll line them up like you'd line up a military army. And they'll line up side by side across this platform. These are your sins. And then they will do, God will say, go. They'll start marching towards you. And no one can deliver you. Your sins are going to come back at you. But see, you thought I was just like you, guys. You thought I was just like you. You thought when you got up there, I was going to say, listen, I understand your frame. I understand you're weak. I understand, because I live down there too, and I understand the struggle. And so, yeah, you did some bad things, but you're not altogether that bad. Later on, read 2 Peter 3, 3 through 11. Later on, just write this down, 2 Peter 3, 3 through 11. It talks about this. Where is the promise of his coming? You said he was going to come back, and he hasn't come back. That's how people are thinking in the last days. Man, grandpa, great-great-great-pampa, Wesley, Whitfield, all these guys that went on ahead, everybody said he was coming back. He ain't coming back in my lifetime. So eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There are those in this auditorium and others listening from around the world who actually believe that when our life is over, when we've drawn our last breath, that we will just expire and that's it. No God, no eternity, no hereafter. It's just over. Others believe that it won't be that difficult of a transition. They believe that upon retiring from this life, they will be ushered into the presence of a gracious, loving God who, and then they'll experience unparalleled forgiveness for their sins. They believe without bowing and breaking in repentance down here, they will somehow be simply pardoned and ushered into glorious bliss up there. The day of judgment also will be a day of perfect justice. Everyone say justice. See, justice, true justice is based on fact. It's the administration of what is right. That means no one will get away with anything. Leonard Ravenhill said it like this: at the judgment seat of Christ, all of our fig leaves will fall off. He will separate the wheat from the chaff, goats to the left, sheep to the right. Everything that's done in secret will be revealed.
Jesus, my passion in life is to know you. May your love go. Journey of love anymore. Jesus, you've showered your goodness on.
Luke 8:17, Jesus said, nothing, for nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither is anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Justice will reign. All the evidence will be in. Young people, you think you've hidden anything from mom and dad? You've hidden nothing from mom and dad. Everything has been written down. That's why with raising kids, I just don't get bent out of shape with stuff, because I understand. Okay, if they're lying, whoa, would I hate to be in their shoes? You can fool anybody, folks. You can put on that clown face. You can put on that church face. God sees through everything. Man looks at the outward appearance. God sees the heart. Justice will reign. God is keeping a record. Both sides of the story will be known. Every hideous sin will be revealed. Every murderous thought will be known. Every perverted sexual act will be screamed out in the courtroom of God. All lying, stealing, cheating, fornication, adultery, hatred, idolatrous act, homosexuality, covetous desires, wagging of the tongue, every act of slander, and the list goes on and on.
Showered your goodness on me. You've given your gifts so freely. But there's one thing I'm longing for.
Jesus said this: go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And then he said this, is Mark 16:15-16. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believes not shall be damned. Come on, people pleasing pastors. Preach the word. Preach the word. Judge for what we did with the truth. Remember in Luke 12:20 when he says, you fool, today it'll be required of you, my friend. How many times do you have to hear the gospel? How many young people, how many times do you have to hear Jesus loves you and has a plan for your life? Sinner friend, and I call you friend because I love everybody. How many times do you have to hear, live for Jesus, live holy, go after God?